In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord in the midst of all things, even our fears. There are always things to be afraid of. There are always are things to be afraid of, and there always will be. You might be familiar with this phrase. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Do you know who said those words? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Context, 1933. That was part of his inaugural address as president. America was in the midst of what we know now as the Great Depression. The Dust Bowl was roaring through the prairie states. People couldn't pay back their bank loans. Businesses were foreclosing. Over 5,000 banks failed. One out of every four Americans didn't have a job. It was a frightful time. And so the president tried to encourage people not to be afraid. And he laid out a plan. That's just one line from his speech, but it's a line that has kind of stuck around. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I'm not sure if by itself that really makes a lot of sense logically, but that's another discussion. But there are always things to be afraid of. Jesus addresses the fears of his disciples. In our gospel lesson, he's sending out the 12, and he tells them what it's going to be like. He says, first of all, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. That doesn't sound very good. But that's not where he stops. He goes on, beware of men. They will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. So that doesn't sound good, but there's even more. Brother will deliver brother over to death. The father is child. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated for all for my name's sake. And there's more. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, which is another name for the devil, how much more will they malign those of his household? So to be clear, Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples, and he says, you're going to be like sheep among wolves. People are going to drag you into court. Your family is going to want to kill you. People are going to say that you're following the devil, and everybody's going to hate you. We aren't told that any of the 12 walked away at that point. But, you know, we would say that's not really good marketing if you're hoping to attract more disciples, to say all these bad things are going to happen to you. By the way, we are starting a new adult instruction class today, a new member class. And yeah, you know, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Now, we have to be clear that these words are directed specifically to the 12. So we can't say too much this presses directly on us. And Jesus doesn't say to them, well, these things might happen. He says, no, this is what's going to happen to you. And it did. Out of those original 12, 11 of them were martyred for following Jesus. Only one, tradition tells us, died a natural death, and he was exiled to an island. It doesn't seem like you and I are going to be killed for being Christians. At least not right now, in this country where we live. Now, there are places in the world today where, yes, it's dangerous to be a Christian. There have been times in the history of the world where you could be killed or murdered for being a Lutheran. That has happened. But for now, yeah, you're pretty safe. You probably won't be executed for following Jesus, at least not in the immediate future. And yet, we still have things that we're afraid of. We all have our fears. Now, there's the normal ones we all have. You know, there's spiders and snakes and fear of heights and those sorts of things. But then we all have our own little anxieties and fears. Some of us are, you know, we're afraid of a failure, or afraid of getting old, or afraid of being alone, or afraid of getting sick, afraid of, you know, running out of money, afraid of dying, afraid of being left out. You know, we could all give our list of what particular things that we struggle with that we are afraid of. We have our fears. What direction does Jesus give to his disciples in the midst of the fears that are going to confront them? And here I think we can apply these to ourselves, because three times he's going to tell the disciples, fear not, but then he's going to give them reasons. First of all, he says, have no fear. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. With those words, Jesus reminds us that God knows what's going on. Sometimes we don't think that he does. Sometimes it seems that evil gets by with it. And that can be very, very unsettling. When innocent people suffer and evil prevails, we're like, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he take action? Doesn't he know? He knows. He knows, and the day is coming when everything will be revealed. Evil will not get by with it, even though it may seem like it right now. God is in control. God does know what's going on. And so Jesus would remind us, don't be afraid, even when it seems like evil is getting by with it. Secondly, Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. He's sending the disciples out as sheep among wolves. And the worst thing they can do is kill their bodies. But that's not the end. That is not the end. God is the ultimate authority of both body and soul. You worship a God who raises the dead. Who raises the dead. So even when your heart stops beating, that is not the end of your story, because you worship a God who raises the dead. When a Christian dies, their soul goes to be with Jesus. Their body is buried, placed into the ground, and we await that day of the great and final resurrection when Jesus comes again. Body and soul are reunited, and we live with our Lord eternally, forever and ever. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. We say that in the Creed. God is the ultimate authority of body and soul, and so we need not fear even the death of our bodies. Third reason not to be afraid, Jesus says, you've got value. You've got value. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Sparrows are pretty common birds. They're so common we don't even really notice them. They're small birds, they're all over the place, they're nothing unordinary, there's nothing distinguishing about them. They're very common, ordinary birds, and yet Jesus says not one of them falls to the ground. Not one of them falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing about it. Your God is not distant and far off. He knows more about you than you realize. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God keeps track of the sparrows, and he keeps track of you because you are loved and because you are valued in Christ. God gives his followers and us reasons not to be afraid. There will always be things to be afraid of. Always. But our God gives us his word. And so he doesn't change the circumstance, he changes us. An illustration, an analogy that might help this make sense. I'm going to go with, you are not afraid of the same things you were afraid of when you were four. I'm going to go with that. Now, maybe you are. And if you are, well, then this analogy falls apart. But we'll say you're not afraid of the same things you were afraid of when you were four. Well, say when you were four, you were afraid that, you know, there were monsters under your bed, monsters in your closet. Now that you're an adult, you know, you're not afraid of that. You still have a bed, you still have a closet, but you're not afraid of monsters being under your bed or in your closet. Why not? Your circumstance hasn't changed, but you've changed. You've grown, you've matured, you've realized, oh, that's nothing to be afraid of. God gives us His Word and His promises to comfort us in our fears. He doesn't take them away. He doesn't change our circumstance. What He does is He gives us a Word and promise that never fails. No matter what your personal anxieties, no matter what age you are, His Word sustains, His Word encourages, His Word preserves. It never fails because you are loved and forgiven in Christ. You are valued. You worship a God who raises the dead. And the day is coming when all secrets will be revealed because Jesus is Lord. To Him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.